Good afternoon and welcome everybody to this meeting. I think that we can start saying that we are realistically satisfied about the results we have been able to achieve in this first quarter. It is true that 2020 we have announced several times that would have been the year in which FILA would have accomplished all the targets and the best expectations, which was happening in fact until mid-March. Then, as everybody knows, after mid-March we entered in this new reality of COVID, and the situation is clearly under serious monitoring and control from us. The first quarter is telling us that we have been able anyway to reach a minimum organic growth, and also a very good cash generation as already happened in the last in year 2019, I would say, since FILA have announced to have finalized all the complicated reorganization, restructuration process and SAP go live in the different areas of the world. So I think this is an important point to stress. The company now is back to a positive cash generation, is now implementing a regular reduction of working capital that we expect will continue in the following months. And of course, we have to manage the situation with COVID. As you probably recall, during the last meeting we had to comment the results of 2019, we have tried already to give an estimated revised budget for 2020. So let me enter now into more detail, because things change a lot from area to area, and also change a lot from government to government. So we have been seriously affected in this first quarter, first of all in China, as we have been into a total lockdown situation from the last week of January until the first week of March. But the government also have imposed us to pay full salaries to our employees, so zero turnover, zero production, and full cost for salaries. The same, unfortunately, happened also in India. Indian market, as you probably recall, is our number two market in the world, and until mid-March was running on top of 20% organic growth as every year in the last 5 years. Suddenly, of course, we were forced to shut down completely the production. Our products have not been considered essential, so we could not sell anymore, but government imposed us to pay full salary until the 7th of May, when we have reopened the production. Clearly, these countries have negatively impacted our EBITDA, that despite a slight growth of roughly 1.5% versus 2019, we have seen a slight reduction of EBITDA due to this kind of impact. In the rest of the world, The situation it's more I would say similar and manageable. So we have suffered some lockdown, but generally speaking, except for Italy, for a limited period of time, our products are considered essentials. We have experienced a strong growth in mass retailers and e-commerce, and this also have demonstrated us that there is in fact a need of our product, and this is a confirmation that our business tend to be resilient not only to recession, but it seems also now that is resilient also to lockdown, because consumers in a very limited period of time have completely moved their attitude to buy from physical stores, and they have moved to e-commerce. So I take the opportunity to confirm the estimated revised budget I gave during the call in the 25th of March, and I would like also to confirm what we have imagined during that call, that as you know, we are entering during these days in the back to school peak season. Customers are asking us to postpone the deliveries, some of them because they are still closed, some of them because they want to have a more clear view on when school will be reopened. And by the way, in some countries schools have been already opened these days, like France, Germany. Or simply some of them would like to have less stress from a financial point of view, so they will ask us to supply them in the last moment possible. This should generate, or is generating, a wave in terms of turnover that we see our turnover shifting a little bit from let's say first week of May. The peak season tend to end by mid-July. This year, this back to school will start around the last week of May, and instead of finishing mid-July, we are estimating we'll finish between mid and the end of August. And for this reason, we have decided to cancel the shutdown, the period in which we shut down plants and warehouses in August, in order to guarantee the regular supply to our customers. So I think that in terms of general presentation, I think this is enough. I prefer to give Stefano De Rosa to present more in detail the figures, and then we can go to the Q&A session. Thanks.
Massimo, so we can go to the presentation, and we can go to page 4. To page 4, and to analyze the trend of core business sales. As was mentioned, core business sales are showing an organic growth of 2.5 million. The value is 145.8 in Q1 2020. This organic growth, organic of course, is made by a neutralization of FX effect. It is 0.8 million. We have a small amount only in the US for US dollar. It's the same for the EBITDA. And there is a little normalization just to analyze better this number in the M&A effect, because I want to remind you that there is Arch for 1 month inside, and last year we had 3 months of Superior business that was sold in the last quarter of the previous year. So given this information, the organic growth is equal to 2.5 and focus in 2.5 million, focus in the North America area. And this for 6.7 million, and this growth is partially offset by the decrease that we experienced in the other area, Europe, for 1.7 million. And when I talk about Europe, I'm talking mainly about Italy and UK. Asia, for a decrease of 1.3 million. Asia, of course, means DOMS, but also China, that was totally locked down for the full February and part of March. And South America, Mexico, mainly, but in a minor part also the other countries. South America maybe need a little additional comment, because to the COVID effect we have also a rationalization of the sales this year in Mexico area, because we agree a different commercial sales plan compared to the previous year in order to optimize the working capital. So, of course, Mexico is performing very well. The effect is mainly due for Mexico to this different approach to the sales during the year in order to generate more cash compared to the previous year. Jumping to the EBITDA page 4 analysis, I want to point that all data are analyzed without IFRS 16 effect, so you will see the EBITDA, the net profit without this effect. As Massimo mentioned before, we have an EBITDA adjusted equal to 16.8 million, so with a decrease of approximately 9 million compared to the previous, 1.7 million, 9% less than the previous year. This decrease is due to the effect that we mentioned before, is due mainly to the operational inefficiency that we have in the gross margin, because was mentioned before that two main countries stopped the sales, but all the costs were there, and to a different sales mix in the USA area compared to the previous year. Just a little maybe comment on extraordinary items. Extraordinary items are equal to 5.4 million. This amount is mainly referred to the Arch acquisition. We had the consultancy cost, legal cost, but also 1.3 million of transfer tax to be paid that affect this total amount. The other part of the extraordinary cost referred to a queue organization cost in the USA, and in UK we complete a organization with the Paycon subsidiary in UK. Similar to a merger with the Dollar, the other subsidiary that we have in the UK, the Dollar Runway, the same process that we did in each country where we had more than one company. So the process was finished in January. The asset deal from the Paycon subsidiary to our Dollar UK subsidiary was complete, and so now we have all the business in one company. The remaining part of the salary cost is referred to COVID cost, share-based premium, because we have this share incentive plan, and we have also part of cost due to the COVID, cleaning, organization cost, so all the costs related to all the extraordinary process that we had to manage to the COVID effect. If we go to the net result, page 6, we can see that the next result is negative for 0.2 million. Of course, again, excluding IFRS 16. This effect is due to the, the negative difference that we had in the EBITDA, but we have a strong effect in FX, financial FX, due to the conversion. We had a strong a strong depreciation of some currency in the last end of the month that, of course, this affected all the loans that we had in foreign countries, foreign subsidiary, not in the local currency. And so we have more or less 3.7 million of negative FX effect that affected the net income. Just to be precise, we had also this effect for 0.5 million also in the EBITDA. So it's another reason why the EBITDA is showing a decrease compared to the previous year. The FX effect is mainly concentrated in UK, in Russia, in Brazil, and also part in USA. Going to page 7, we have the net financial position analysis and net bank analysis. You can see that the group generated 56.4 million in the last 12 months, of course excluding the cash out for the Hush acquisition. So if you remember, we were in December to more or less 52 million, so in we confirm again a good cash generation, a continued cash generation, also notwithstanding the COVID effect that we experienced in the last month. The same good ratio can be analyzed considering the free cash flow to equity analysis, the cash flow. You can see that in page 8, we have a free cash flow to equity equal to 37 million compared to of absorption, compared to 35 of cash absorption that we had in the same quarter of last year. If you neutralize 3 million of extraordinary cash out that we had for Arch acquisition, you can see that we are near an absorption of 34 million, so better than the cash absorption that we had in Q1 2019. Just to conclude analysis on the cash, also the ratio that we have in the net working capital of sales improved, and this is due to the big job made in particular on the inventory side last year, and the ratio last year in the Q1 2019 was 51, and this year the ratio is 47.3. So again, in this ratio we can confirm the improvement of cash generation. So I think that now we can open to the Q&A session.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. The first question is from Niccolò Storer with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for taking my questions. The first one is on your expectations for the year. If I remember well, the last time we spoke, you were projecting minus 10% versus your original budget pre-COVID in terms of revenues and some minus 20% on the EBITDA, always compared to your pre-COVID budget. I was wondering if this number still hold. Second question is on clients, your clients. What are you seeing at your clients? Are they asking you some delays in payments? Are you struggling in collecting receivables? At the end of the beginning of the call, you said that you are expecting working capital reduction to continue into the year. So the perception is that so far you are not having any kind of issues with your clients. Very last question for Stefano. I didn't understand well which is the split of extraordinaries between Arch and non-Arch. If you can clarify again, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Nicolò. I lost a little bit your words, but to make concerning question number one and the revised budget, but let me very clear and simple. Stefano, can you please? Anyway, we gave a very first estimation the 25th of March, and I think that we are happy to say that we confirm our estimation. I think we made this effort, I think, for to try to support our investors that are clearly in a very difficult situation, a very difficult possibility of analyze the situation. So we thought that instead of not giving anything, because so you do not make mistake, we prefer to take some responsibility. Today I can confirm that estimation, and I think it's important because we have 7 weeks behind us, and I don't think in these 7 weeks nothing that we have imagined have happened. So let me translate this into numbers. India had we had a very strong negative impact from India. India restarted its operation the 7th of May, and in this moment India is working more or less with 50% of workers, because we have not yet received the authorization to go back to 100%. But in our revised budget, this was considered. So we have considered in the revised budget a month of May at a reduced speed. Then in the revised budget, if you recall, I have given a stronger negative impact in June because of the shift of the seasonality. But at the end of the year, we have given a range of EBITDA that could stay between 100 and 108 million euro, which would put us very close to the numbers of 2019. What we are seeing that is, I think, positive, is that on a normal course of business, the demand of our product is very interesting. So we have to split between order for back to school and order for daily needs. And the daily needs, the daily orders are quite interesting, quite positive, which put us in a quite comfortable position for our estimation at the end of the year. So today it's a little bit more than an estimation. In March was an estimation. Today we have April, in which we had a very impacting lockdown in Europe and in United States. Despite that, at the end of April, both Europe and United States are in line with our revised budget, which I think is quite important. Last but not least, if you analyze the EBITDA of the first quarter, it is positioned in the area of minus 9% versus last year. But we have not been able to cut, you remember I said that we have been able to cut 7 to 8 million euro cost starting mid-March. But of course this will be effective from April. So in reality in March we couldn't react so quickly. Despite this, you have seen the EBITDA that is in the range that we are projecting towards the end of the year. So All in all, I think that our revised budget is not only acceptable in this very difficult environment, but I would say realistic. Concerning customers, I recall that I was extremely negative during the call of March on the quality of our receivables. In this moment, the fact that especially in the weakest country like Italy, Greece, and Spain, stationery shops have been authorized to open, what we see is less quality in payment, but not a request of bankruptcy. They are asking to postpone payment. So what they claim is to have flexibility from us in order to restart activity that is looking okay, because the reason why the activity is looking okay, I think, goes back to the origin of Fila. It is okay because the value of our product is very low, and the time that kids are spending at home is unusually high, and they really don't know what to do, so they are clearly dedicating more time to colors. If you look at Amazon, one of the best sellers outside food are Fila product, for example, in Italy. So I think that this allow our customer to have an acceptable level of visit from their consumer. So they are asking us some flexibility in order to pay our receivables. What I hope in this moment that I have been, at the end of March, too negative in terms of credit losses, and probably to improve, as I am doing in this moment, I am improving a little bit my view during the year. For the third question, Stefano.
Yes, I repeat, Nicolò. So, extraordinary item. Of course, the main amount is referred to ASH acquisition cost, is about 3.5 million. And this includes 1.3 million of transfer tax that we pay to the local authorities in France. Then we have 0.5 million of share premium cost. Then we have this is the share incentive plan that we had, where we had 3 years share incentive plan, so it's the accrual that we have every quarter. Then we have 0.2 million for COVID extra cost. And so the last amount is less than 1 million. We have the remaining part due to reorganization cost, the Q organization cost, layoff cost in the USA, but another part is due to the reorganization cost that we had in UK, where we had two companies that we merge, we close, we transfer the business to Dallas, UK. So this is the total amount of this cost I've made. So the big part, the COVID can increase during the year, of course, if there's some extraordinary cost. I think that big part of the extraordinary cost of the year should be concentrated in this quarter.
Okay, thank you. Maybe a very, very brief follow-up. You mentioned that you are rationalizing your sales in Mexico to generate more cash. But it means that you are selling less at the end of the day, or are just kind of rescheduling deliveries or whatever? No, you are selling less.
I think in Mexico this year we have been lucky, because we have taken this decision last quarter 2019. So we have decided that Mexico, due to this extreme instability of the government, we were losing a little bit trust in that country. So in the beginning of the year, we have decided to reduce terms of payment, and at budget level, we have reduced sales by 10%, thus proportionally EBITDA. What is happening is that this decision was extremely favorable because from one side we have reduced terms of payment. From the other side, there is a disruption in the supply chain of a Chinese competitor, which has put us in a favorable position in domestic market. The Mexico is the main supplier of United States, and in this moment the currency is very weak. So all these effects are putting Mexico ending with a very strong first quarter, both from top line and also from EBITDA. So we have decided to continue with this strategy, so to improve the quality of the sales in order to improve also the working capital.
Nicolo, just a precision. When I talk about COVID cost, I mean only the cost that the group had to clean.
Sure.
For this kind of cost, because Massimo mentioned before all the cost per person, these are full in our, of course, MP&L. So I mentioned only cleaning, putting.
They are not extraordinary. We have put in the ordinary EBITDA.
Thank you.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is about if you just a clarification. I would like to understand if I understood correctly. So, do you expect? So for you, it's very important quarters are second quarter and the third quarter in terms of top line, in terms of EBITDA. Basically, are you expecting a shift, some shift of turnover from the second quarter to the third quarter? And if this is correct, how much could be this kind of shift in sales from your estimation from the second quarter and the third quarter? This is my first question. The second one is just to say what kind of expectation you have for the full year in terms of Forex impact on EBITDA side, what kind of assumption, roughly speaking, you have incorporated in your assumptions. And then finally, for you, Massimo, just your view about clients, in particular physical clients in North America. So we spoke about particular small clients in Italy and so on, but I would like to better understand your view about clients that probably working with schools, they are not still in this moment restarted, or just to better understand this kind of situation in North America. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Ale. First of all, your first question needs to make a very quick calculation on paper. But if you recall, again, I come back to the 25th of March, I said that we would have ended the semester with a minus 20% in top line, again versus budget, and we would have gone back to minus 10% at the end of the year. So from this point of view, I tend to confirm these numbers, because the fact that many customers have asked us to postpone shipment, but simply postpone, will put us in a position not to invoice before the 30th of June. But the amount of orders make us comfortable on the annual revised.
Of course. Okay.
So how much can be this shift? I can estimate around 35 million euro that will go from second quarter to third quarter. This is the estimation that we have made internally.
Okay.
Concerning FX effect. I think that if you go back to your statistics, you will probably find an unbelievable instability of, let's say, secondary currencies when COVID became very aggressive. Mm-hmm. So if you recall the comment of Stefano, where we did have problem with FX. We had a problem in Brazil, in Russia, in Chile, in Argentina, all countries that overnight experienced 10 to 20% devaluation. The problem is that this year, this has happened in March. So unless we expect a further devaluation, which is not the case, because I think little by little the situation is going back to normal, what we have experienced is gone, is past, because we don't see this happening further. In Brazil, I read the situation of COVID is extremely negative, but except Brazil, but Brazil for us is not a big economy, it's not a big market, I don't see this effect to continue in the months coming. So it's really a one-time effect. Concerning customers, the situation is this. If you talk with our school supplier customer, they will tell you that they, from let's say end of April until end of September, they do 90% of their business. So from a theoretical point of view, they could not be impacted at all by COVID. They are simply opening later, and they will probably put under stress a little bit their logistic, but at the end, their business should be protected, because we are mid-May, and we see school start to reopen, or anyway, government little by little and state are reopening little by little. So they are collecting products as in a normal year, and they will start delivering this product to schools, state, region, department, and so on by mid-June, end of June. So this could happen as a normal year. In March, I did not have the possibility to see what would have happened in May. Now, what we see is that they are simply postponing their orders. But also from a financial point of view, their working capital is not changing substantially. They are experiencing only minor changes. Probably related to the sales of month of April and maybe month of May that are partially not happening, because some of them are selling via e-commerce or delivering products at home, so they are organizing themselves in a different way. So I would say that, to summarize, in this moment we have we like to work in a scenario in which our cash conversion is still extremely conservative. But at the moment, we don't have clear signs that there will be a strong worsening of the quality of our receivable. Of course, the news that I read as today, like JCPenney asking for bankruptcy or Neiman Marcus, make me a little bit anxious, and our management in United States is managing literally on a daily basis with customers their payment before shipping them new products. So if ever we will fall into Chapter 11, at least we will reduce the impact as much as possible.
Of course, of course. So basically, your main task is to, at the end of the story, is excluding EBITDA, that probably you have more visibility is to be able, with this kind of postponements from one quarter, to cash in credits that you typically cash in the fourth quarter before the year end.
Exactly. This is what we are discussing with customers. So, as I explained to them, that we have also covenants with the banks. So instead of getting cash, let's say in October, we give them flexibility under the condition that they pay us in December. And it seems this is accepted by our customers, at least in Europe. Because in the United States, the problem is fortunately different. So the terms of payment are much shorter. Even more if you consider that the business in this moment is shifting to Walmart and Amazon in big percentage, and these customers pays, if I'm not wrong, at 45 days. So a completely different story than what is happening here in Europe.
Okay. Many thanks, Massimo and Stefano.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is from François Robillard with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you very much. I hope you're all well. Thank you for taking my question. So first one is on IFRS 16. If you could give us some more color on you reported your EBITDA net of IFRS 16 in the first quarter. Can you tell us what this figure would be post IFRS 16? Then on your EBITDA target for the year, so it's between 100 and 108 million euros, if I understood correctly. What's the amount of adjustments in this number? Do you only have the adjustments made as of Q1 in this target as of now? And can we expect a similar IFRS 16 impact on the full year? That was my question related to EBITDA. On extraordinary costs as well, you mentioned the reorganization in the UK and the US in the first quarter. What can we expect going forward in the year? Do you have other planned reorganization expenses ahead of you? On COVID-19 as well, can you just confirm, if I understood correctly, the cleaning costs for sanitization of plants are not included in the extraordinary costs, so are part of your adjusted EBITDA? And finally, on covenants, last time around you mentioned that you had renegotiated with banks larger covenants at the end of June and at the end of the year. Any news on that side? Are you confident you can achieve net debt to EBITDA ratio and interest cover ratio within these limits? Thank you very much.
Okay. So IFRS 16, I can tell you the total impact. We have 3.5 million impact related to the
positive
of rental fee write-off. Okay, so 3.5 million. Then we have the amortization amount, it's 2.7 million. So we have the interest calculated on IFRS 16 that are 1.5 million. And then, of course, I have a positive tax effect of 0.2 million. Totally is on net result is negative of 0.5 million. You can find for your guidance at page 10, page 11, also a reported P&L, because internally we prefer to analyze this number without, because it's a number that related to the business, we come with the market, with investor, but anyway, page 10 and page 11, you can find also some support to remember this number. About covenants, About covenants, we just negotiated, of course, after Arch acquisition, so the new agreement was, the amendment was signed in December and was valid for 2020. Of course, due to the COVID, we started some discussion with banks. As Massimo said, maybe, of course, we had concern on the working capital. We had concern on the collection also, because also if the signals are less worse than maybe the one that we expected 1 month ago, we are still working on this scenario. So we are in discussion with the bank to review, to ask a covenant holiday, as in this case you normally do with banks. We are discussing with the bank also the repayment, because for the covenant it's better to ask a holiday than a review of the covenant. So we will maintain the covenant for the next year, but we are asking an holidays of covenant for the full year, because again, also if the group, the situation is better for June than in December, of course, because based on the scenario, we are not in breach of covenant in June, but we are very near. We reduced the headroom that we negotiated just 2 months ago. So we are having a conservative approach with the banks in order to avoid a last time surprise and to work safely for the year.
Yeah, concerning your question of extraordinary cost, yes, in fact, first of all, big part are related to Arch acquisition, so we do not expect any other extraordinary cost during the year, as, by the way, we didn't expect for 2020. All the extraordinary projects are behind us. In 2020, we do not have any SAP go live. The central warehouse in Europe is working extremely well. The learning curve is flat. In United States, we have not any more reorganization, so there is no reason to have extraordinary cost in our income statement. What we do expect from a positive side is that many of our customers are very much dependent on Chinese supply chain, while we have quite complicated organization of production around the world, and this is giving us unexpected chances to sell and to use our inventory, as you recall, quite high in 2018, but improved in 2019, but still quite high. So we see good opportunity to improve working capital throughout the year.
Nothing to add. Just to be a little comment, of course, we have, as much as no material, so there are costs, we will have the queue of the Sherbet premium and some COVID cost. So, as Massimo said, the amount is in Q1, of course, it will be not the same in the year, we will either receive but not material.
Yeah, sorry, we forgot to answer your question about the EBITDA. Yes, I think, again, I hope that you take in a positive way our effort give a guide. And I think that after 7 weeks, we can confirm our guidance made with some creativity in the last week of March. Because it's a combination of sell out of this period that is quite positive and the amount of orders that we are receiving from
from our customers. So we are confident that the indication we have given between 100 and 108 is a correct assumption. Of course, be honest, saying that if ever we will fall in a severe second wave or second lockdown session in October, November, we will need to understand the consequences of what will happen. So based on what we see today in terms of orders, what we see today in terms of reopening, and what we see today in terms of school reopening, we are confident that we have given a fairly accurate revised budget.
The next question is from Niccolò Storer with Kepler.
Can you hear me? Yes. Two follow-ups. The first one on your revised covenant, if you can remind us which is the threshold that you renegotiated for June and December. And the second one is on finance. If you Massimo can comment a bit on what you are seeing among your finance client, which maybe in most cases tend to be different to the school one. Thank you.
For covenants, do you remember that we have two tests in June and December? For June, the new covenant is 5.45, and for December, 3.9.
So this is with the old debt or IFRS debt?
No, covenant are without. Without market, without IFRS 16, so without all the cashless effect.
Okay.
And concerning fine art, I think I hope everybody is pleased seeing the performance of North America in the first quarter. You have seen a substantial positive top line that tell us that finally, after 2 years, United States are back to an organic growth and an efficient growth. Fine art, what I can say is that we have been lucky and we have been capable enough to invest in this business. Fine art is giving us a very positive sign all around the world. When I say all around the world, let me give you some examples. China, fine art at the end of April is 90% to the sales of last year. So we have almost make up all the difference in almost 6 weeks, mid-March, end of April. School is only 65% versus sales of last year because school have been closed so far. They are going to open this week. UK have ended up the first quarter growing versus last year, and UK is mainly a fine art country. United States, fine art are really super performing. Fine art at the end of April are on budget, original budget, not revised budget. Why? Probably because people have a lot of time to spend at home. Some of them probably are also a bit nervous and tired of the quality of life that we are facing in this moment, and clearly drawing and painting sometimes it's a good is a good solution. Let me remember also that fine art is a business that has an organic growth not only in the last years but also in the coming years. And now we have the jewel of the crown that is Arch in our portfolio. Of course, Arch had suffered a limited impact because we just had Arch for 8 weeks. In these 8 weeks, Arch have done more or less the same numbers of 2019 instead of guaranteeing a growth that we were expecting. But clearly, to perform in a comparable way to 2019 is important. There is a big difference concerning fine art between countries that are that can benefit from e-commerce and countries that cannot. In countries in which e-commerce is developed, fine art is booming, and this is the right word. Countries in which e-commerce, and I'm referring to United States, Canada, UK, Australia, China, countries in which, and France, in which e-commerce is weaker, like Italy, Spain, Greece, then we have seen a strong reduction of business starting from mid-March. But I can also tell you we are seeing a strong recovery of the business starting these days. All in all, fine art and school are showing, are confirming what we have always said and what we have always hoped, that these businesses are resilient to recession. And in this case, we can say are resilient also to COVID.
Thank you.
There is no question at the moment.
Okay. So as we do not have more question, we thank all of you to have attended this call, and I hope to meet all of you personally. Thank you.
Bye.